we're in a time, you know, the greatest time in history, let's put it that way, that man has ever known in the history of the church. Seriously. You're going to come into, we're coming into great revival. And, you know, it's one thing to sing that and to get even emotional by the music. Yeah. But when this happens, we can rise above the storms. Yeah. We can rise above the thunder and the light and all the stuff that's going on. Because, you know what, all that, there's a lot of witchcraft and a lot of stuff that's been released.
Yes.
And, you know, we're stronger than that. Oh, we've got God. But you have to, you're going to feel, I can feel the pressure of what's going on in Portland, Oregon, or Chicago, or wherever.
Yes.
I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
If you're really in tune with God, you're going to feel that.
Yeah.
You're going to feel that there's some pressure, but we rise above it.
Yeah.
You know what? What a privilege, what an honor that we know God, that we know Him, and that we really can take authority, take our place in the body of Christ.
Yeah.
You know what? People just go, sit down. You can sit down. I can tell you this. People just think, oh, we're supposed to go to church, or you go to church, and you know, there's the church has the amount of people that go to church has decreased and dwindled so much since I was a little girl. Anywhere, I mean, that's why we got out of World War II. We shouldn't have, you know, but that's how we got out. Because people did know God. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of denominations out there that don't really preach being born again, spirit-filled. But that doesn't mean, at least they had an inkling of God. I did. I thank my folks for making me go to church all that time. But it's dwindled so much. And God is looking for people whose hearts are real.
Amen.
Don't be a fake. You know, and all these things, when the rubber meets the road, it's the truth. What are you going to do? What you're saying? Are you going to do what the Bible says? Are you going to do it? Can you rise above it when there's fights, when there's arguments, when there's disunity, like even in marriages and in anything? Are you going to remember? I told you that one day that him and I were having a little disagreement, and that all of a sudden that scripture, Deuteronomy 30:19, came, and it says, "Behold, I record before you heaven and earth that you right now you choose life. Or death, blessing, and cursing." Even when that happens, that's what there is. Okay, right now you're mad because, or you're upset because there's disagreement.
Yeah.
But you know what? All of a sudden you can turn it off.
Yeah,
because I did. I went, okay, I'm choosing life.
Yeah.
I'm choosing the blessing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go. Oh, forgive me, even though I was right. No. But, no. No, not always. But anyway, you got to put a humor in some of this, or you could. But you can. I mean, you wouldn't think that. And it's just like anything. You know, it says God's not a liar. He's not a man that he should lie. His whole word is true. We've got to get that inside of us, because so we believe everything else out there.
True.
From everything, you know? And there's such a socialist, communistic agenda and anti-Christ. You know what Christ means? Christ means anointing. Burden-removing, yoke-destroying power of God. I call it burden-removing, yoke-destroying, devil-crushing, mountain-moving power of God. But you know what? So what's anti? It's against all that. Anti-anointing. That's what it is. It's we'd be doomed. But we're going to win.
Amen.
Jesus said, we will win. We're overcomers. Kenneth Copeland had a prophecy way back in 1984. And like I said, we got a hold of the tape. We showed it so many times, maybe 25 to 30 times. And it you know, this was not a DVD. This was tape. And so we still have it, but it goes But he actually said that we'd walk on the planets and the stars of heaven, and that there people we'd have on a white robe, and people would say, oh, look, and this is in the millennium, that people would look and say, look, there's one of they overcame the devil, they overcame.
Yep.
Let me tell you. There's going to be some persecution, and there is already, of the church. In fact, the persecution is worse now than it was in the days of Roman and the Romans and the evil that they did. They're saying it all over. The persecution for Christians is worse than it ever was in the wide world, ever in the history of the church. And you can see the persecution right now in California, you know. Hey, I like that. Christian Breaking News, it said, in Nevada, they actually went to the Supreme Court to try to get back. They said, all the casinos could have 50% capacity, but the churches were still at like 10 people.
Come on.
Nevada. Where'd I say?
Nevada. You said
California. I meant Nevada, yeah.
I said Nevada
first, yeah. Well, I was talking about how California can't sing, they can't do anything. But Nevada, the casinos were opened, but the churches could not be opened. And so you know what they did? They rented a casino, and they went in there and praised the Lord to the height of... wasn't that cool? In fact... and so, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to receive the tithes and offerings. Just know, we win. There was one announcement I wanted to make. Okay. There's going to be prayer for the nation at the courthouse today. This is no sponsor or group, just a gathering of Christians to pray for our nation to repent and turn back to God today. And it's at 3 p.m. Just when somebody called and left a message. Paul Von Buren.
They need power.
Huh? Anybody?
They call this church because they need power.
I dreamed that last night. I dreamed it last night.
Did you?
Getting together.
So, okay. Now, okay. So Galatians 6, 7 through 9 says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, he will reap it. And we're not just talking about money. We're talking about everything, about life. So the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing and doing good, for in due season we're going to reap if you don't give up and faint. And say this, Nazan, wherever work. See, and don't complain. Because sometimes that stuff comes out of you. Well, I've been doing that and that doesn't work. See, when you find yourself surrounded with difficult people, take a look back and see how you treated people over the years. And if you don't like the harvest you planted, then change something. Start planting a different seed. You know what? So you can't, we can dig up the weeds by speaking God's word. Now today we're talking about finances, but it's in every arena of your life. Now, Your finances are an area where we want the laws of sowing and reaping to work. Uh-huh. Right?
Yeah.
And I know we use this a lot. Luke 6:38. Give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down. Oh, she just wants money. Good measure. I heard that. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. Men will pour into your bosom. But it's the measure of heart that you give, with what you give, that it'll come back to you. See, you know, and sometimes church people, you know, like to say, oh, I believe for the abundance. I believe for the financial harvest I'm expecting, you know. And a lot, okay, well, I'll say that after this. And oftentimes they haven't planted seed.
Exactly. Wow. Exactly.
How could you expect a garden to come up if you didn't plant seed?
That's right. That's good.
You know, we're all for the overwhelming abundance and the financial harvest that God said that we could have, but that means that we've sown substantial seed. And I am not kidding you. We have sown substantial seed from this church. Always.
Amen.
To our speakers, to missions, to other ministries. And that is why we have been able to do. I know people are shocked. The lawn man said, oh, now you've got to pay for the parking lot. We said, no, it's paid for. He called me up once and asked me how we paid for how we. Oh, I'm not going to. Somebody. Yeah. Well, they were in an elder. They were in a church in Omaha, and they just wondered how we did it. And they wanted some advice. And I just said it's by giving.
Amen.
You know, for example, Dr. Dufresne was, he's in heaven now, but we had gone to Iowa and they were, asking. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to give? And he said, $5,000. I went, huh? That's the whole savings account of the church. And I couldn't get rid of it. You know what? When they even took up the offering, I didn't give nothing because I wasn't sure. And I could hear it. It was a small, still voice. And it was real peaceful. $5,000. Okay. Okay, and then I felt so guilty. So after the whole service, I went to the book table. And that's when Mitch Morgan, the pilot, was still, he would always take the book tables. And I gave him a $5,000 check. Well, when I got back, somebody was waiting, and I've told this story before, and they were waiting to get an appointment with me, and I was like, I'm tired from the trip, I'm tired from this, and I got to get all this done. I kept stalling. One day they just went in there and said, here, I wanted to give you a check, and I stuck it under your something in the office. Yeah, I don't know what, some books and stuff. And I had a counseling with somebody else, and I finished the counseling, and as soon as that person left, I went and looked. It was a check for $25,000. And I went, thank God I obeyed you. You know, it might have been 30 if I had done it sooner, done it right. Okay, but I said, you know what? I am telling you, that kind of stuff has happened a lot. And I am not just saying this stuff. So you give because Ken and I do it. By rights, if you saw what we give, we should be making in the six figures, and we're far from it. It's like 4 or 5 times our salary. I don't even know how the money gets in the bank. I mean, it's just there.
Give.
You give.
How simple it is.
In the world system, it doesn't work.
No,
And that's why people are looking at the Babylonian system. And I'm not trying, but you know what? Start out small. Start out where your heart is. I'm not telling you to do, but it's the truth. You can't see it because you've been looking at the Babylonian system. Now, I've had years and years of practice at this. We're talking 40 years of practice, and it works. It works. It really works. So, amen. The point is, though, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows bountifully will reap bountifully. But you have to give according to where your heart is. Not because if you give reluctantly, if you give because of what I've said, God wants you to be cheerful. He wants to have hear his voice. But see, that's when God is able. Remember Randy Greer said, God is able, God is able, God is able. He said it so fast that it sounded like God's name was Abel. But he's able to make all grace abound to you, that you have sufficiency way far over and above all that you would ask and think, in all things at all times, that you can abound in every good work. And so if somebody, you know, if there's a like the flood, you have money to give. If somebody's house burns down, you can give them money. If something happens, you can give. Amen. So anyway, are we ready? Ushers? Today we give thanks to the Lord God Almighty. And as we receive today's offering, we are thanking the Lord for these are benefits. That you have a job and a better job. Raises and bonuses. Benefits. Sales and commissions. Favorable settlements. Estates and inheritances. Interest and income. Rebates and returns. Checks in the mail, gifts and surprises, finding money, bills paid off, bills decreased, blessings and increase, new skills, witty inventions and ideas, wise investments, divine favor. Thank you, Lord, for meeting all of our financial needs, that we have more than enough to give into the kingdom of God and promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen and hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Lord, I stand.
Okay, put this on. Wow, that's a healing song. You know what? That could work for coronavirus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. I'm just laughing at my precious Lord. Okay. So I thought, I got a sermon on the Holy Spirit, the sermon on healing, sermon on the words of your mouth like we did on Wednesday night. But then I had... thought sure I knew what it was supposed to be before. No, it's on healing. You know, we haven't talked about healing or sickness for, you know, a long time. But sickness is not from God. Let's just put it that way. Boy, I tell you what, I've been throwing around papers this morning a lot. You know, before we even start today, there's a lot of stuff going on, like I said, in the world and in cities and all over. And so much of it, we cannot get mad at people. Don't be sure that you're not in unforgiveness toward people. What's happening is it's witchcraft, and it's the devil just using people. But those people deserve, you know, salvation also. So you cannot get, you know, an unforgiveness toward them. That's really hard, especially like people in Congress and all the agenda.
Yeah.
But you know, Jesus looked at them. He died for them, and he says, forgive them. They know not what they do. And we've got to get that attitude.
Yeah.
But I found this, and I just want to pray it right now. We prayed it a prayer. I'm going to pray it again. Okay. So, Heavenly Father, we thank you for the authority to battle the controlling powers of witchcraft that attack us. In the name of Jesus, we bind every negative, unscriptural word spoken against our lives and against the life of the Church of the Living God throughout the earth. We break the power of confusion and torment, fear control. That's what it is, fear control right now. Imaginations and high thoughts that are contrary to the Word of God in our life. We submit our will and our thoughts and our life to the Lordship of Christ Jesus. And we plead the blood of Christ Jesus over our mind, commanding stability and order to prevail in our own souls. What are our souls? We break the power of witchcraft's deception, seduction, sorcery, and intimidation, knowing at the name of Jesus every knee must bow. We decree freedom from dark powers, from Jezebel spirits, from false prophetic words, controllers, manipulators, sorcerers, witches, counterfeits, soul ties, spiritual folly, soothsayers, lying spirits, lying dreams, and visions. We repent of sin, both known and unknown. Now, why wouldn't you know you sinned? Because you did it so long ago that you forgot. I know there's stuff that comes, I've heard like, well, by gosh, why wouldn't you know you sinned? You sinned. You know, and we have got to admit that. But there are some things way back. You know what? All of a sudden, the Holy Ghost, if he does, repent right then. Okay, we submit ourselves thoroughly to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and his word. We clothe ourselves with God's armor. Now, you don't clothe yourself just by speaking God's armor.
No, you say it.
Hey. You can speak till you're blue in the face, all the word of God, but if you never do the word, when something happens, it's useless. You put on God's armor by applying it. When something happens, and God's armor is spoken of in Ephesians 6, 10 through actually 20. They say 18, but I like through 20. So, okay, we clothe ourselves with God's armor and take up the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal or just, you know, swords and guns and stuff like that, but mighty in the pulling down of strongholds, mind battles. We dedicate ourselves to the will of Jesus Christ alone for our life. We repent of rebellion, pride, arrogance, spiritualism, control, manipulation, vain desires, not being in church, disrespecting the fivefold ascension gifts and the leaders. We renounce wrong associations carrying witchcraft's message, false motives, and hidden agendas. Lord, your word says, if I confess my sins, you are faithful, you are just to forgive me and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You know what? I'm going to include in there too, because we are going to receive communion this morning. Unforgiveness toward anyone. As an act of my will and faith, no matter how I feel about him, faith does not go by feeling. We forgive because in obedience to the will and the word of God. That's how we forgive. I don't care how I feel rotten about what somebody said to me. I forgive them as an act of my will in faith, according to the word of God. And then, you know what? Lord, you take away the feelings. Feelings are emotions. So thank you, Jesus. You said you would never leave us or forsake us to the end of the age. So in Jesus' mighty and awesome name, we pray and amen. So, I didn't find that by accident this morning. So how do we know God didn't put sickness on us for some purpose? And I know all of you probably know this, but we need to hear it again. Does God really want to heal me? Yeah. You know, you can look at those questions and you can answer them, but we have to look at Jesus when he was on the earth. Let's go to John 14, 9 and 10. John 14, 9 and 10. Always using the word to prove the what we're preaching is out of the word, not our opinion. Now, it was Philip who had said to Jesus, Philip said, "Well, Jesus, show us the Father, and we'll be happy, we'll believe, you know, we'll be satisfied." Yeah. And Jesus said unto him, "Have I been with you so long?" I was trying to see what version you used. Okay, "Have I been so long," is King James, "so long a time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father's in me? And the words that I speak to you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwells in me. He does the works." And you know, Jesus only said and did what the Father told him to. Whoa, he never even said anything else. Oh my gosh, we need to be like that. We wouldn't get in any trouble. Now, to know the will of God is to know what God is like. And to see God at work, we have to look at Jesus. Now, who is Jesus? Jesus is the
Word.
That's right. Well, Jesus is God's Word, is God's will, and God's will is God's Word. Amen. I don't know if it's God, is it your will to heal me?
Come on.
God's will is God's Word.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, the leper asked Jesus that. He asked, he said, you know, he knew Jesus could heal. But he said to him, "Is it your will to heal me?" You know, usually leprosy in those days, it came from an unclean spirit. We're talking sexual.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. They were doing that to the madman of Gadara.
Uh-huh.
They chained him. They couldn't even stop him. Yeah, Jesus could. Unclean spirits. So, I mean, all that stuff, the pornography. I'll tell you what, there's a sex ring in the United States, or the whole world, for children. It's awful. It has a lot to do with what's going on right now. Whoo, children kidnapped. Oh, God. Thank God we know the Lord to protect our children. Don't, anyway, I'm not going to go there. Where was I? Anyway, Jesus is God's will in action. So, okay. So,
he had to do what the Father said. Praise God.
In John 6:38, he said, you don't have to put it up there, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." You know what? That should be all of our philosophy.
Yeah.
Now, did Jesus make people sick? Because we hear that all the time. Nope. He went about doing good and healing. And if you want to know what the will of the Father is, he wants to heal. So, Acts 10:38. Now, put that one up. And some of you should know it by heart. How God anointed
Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, doing good.
That's right. Okay. how God, we got it up there? How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And actually the real translation of it is with manifestations of the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that were, here's the key, oppressed of who?
Of the devil.
Of the devil. Says it right there. Who were they oppressed by? They were oppressed by the devil. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Well, it must be the Father's will for all to be healed that are being, you know. Now, most of the laws governing the earth today came into being through Adam's fall. A curse came on the earth when he sinned. Amen? But everyone seems to accuse God of accidents, sickness, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, death of loved ones. Do you hear what I said? Death of loved ones? Not God. He is blamed for storms, catastrophes, earthquakes, floods. Insurance policies call these acts of God. They're acts of the devil authored by Satan. Now, Jesus did not bring storms on people. He calmed the storms and he healed sickness and disease. You know what? And if he was always listening to the Father, and the Father was telling him, okay, calm that storm, stop that storm, heal this person, you know, cast the devil out of this person, you know, then... If it wasn't the will of the Father, then he was going against him. It doesn't make sense. Now, so natural laws were actually set aside by Jesus when necessary when he was on the earth. Now, he supernaturally did it to bless humanity, to save him, or to help him. Okay, example, let's go to Mark 4, 35 through 41. Hey, you know what? I need some response.
Yeah.
I need response from you guys.
Amen.
When you respond, you know that you get it.
That you get it.
When you actually respond, the Lord puts it in here.
That's right.
And see, it pulls it out.
Yes, it
what
does.
He wants to say, not what Jackie wants to say.
Amen.
Poof with me.
Yeah.
It's him. And that response is huge to anybody preaching. It's huge. It pulls it. He'll pull it out for your sake. Okay. Okay. Mark 4. 35. Yeah, well, whatever.
Bless the Lord.
You're all there but me. Mark 4. 35.
No, 35.
And the same day when the evening was come, Jesus said to them, let us pass over to the other side. Whatever Jesus said, just like he said to the leper, he said, it is my will. I will heal you. You know what? Those words were for us. I will. I will to heal you. God wills to heal us. Okay. So let us pass over to the other side. Forever, when Jesus said something, the words were forever written in heaven, never to be destroyed. You know, we say, oh, sure, I'm going to pass over to the other side. Oh, yeah, I'm going to go over there. You know, but his words meant something. Now, when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. Woohoo! The ship was sinking. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him, and they says, well, don't you even care that we're going to perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, Be still. We always use that for a tornado. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Then he said to them, hey, what's the matter with you guys?
Yeah, really.
This is my version. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you had no faith?
That's it right there.
And they feared exceedingly and said, whoa, what kind of guy is this? That even the wind and the sea obey him. But see, he said, okay, the storm had risen. And Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. The disciples woke and they said, don't you even care about us? And he rebuked the wind. Yeah. Now, he was not rebuking something God did. He was rebuking something the devil stirred up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen? Yeah. I'm just trying to tell you, you have that authority now.
Yeah.
Jesus was doing the will of the Father God.
Yeah.
And God caused storms, destruction, sickness, and disease to stop.
Amen. Amen.
And he had already said to, okay, now, how did the devil get control? Adam was originally the god of the world system. God made the world and the fullness thereof. You know what? He gave Adam authority to rule the earth. But Adam sold us out to the devil.
Yep.
Now, he didn't have the moral right to do it, but he had the legal right because he was in dominion and authority over the earth. Adam was. And God put it into Adam's hands.
Yeah, he did.
He committed high treason. Sold us out to the devil. And 2 Corinthians says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, don't put it up, but it said, Satan is now the god of this world. And I tell you, he still is the god of this world. He got the title after Adam sinned. Yeah, I'll tell you, the church world can be confused because they have unscriptural ideas. They think God's got everything under control.
Nope. No way. No way.
Maybe so, according to how you mean it.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, if you mean God is ruling the earth right now, no, he isn't. But you can put him in control of your situation or life. How do you do it? By the word of God.
Amen.
Folks, we don't just preach a plain gospel. We preach the word. But you have got to go out there and say the word over your situation. And then it will work. No, he turned around in the Great Commission and he said, now, I have a power and authority over heaven and earth. He says, now you go. And he right there, he gave us, the church, people who are born again. They don't even have to be spirit-filled. You got authority when you're born again. Okay? To go and take authority. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but okay. Matthew 16, 19. Yeah, put it up there now. It's probably at the end of the sermon, but I'll tell you.
Bring it on again.
And, you know, there was a big discussion about that once, remember?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Crazy stuff has happened to us in the 80s. This guy coming to our house and saying, all goofed up with what binding and loosing was. But, you know, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
We don't have to unlock it. Jesus unlocked it for us.
Amen.
You know what? The only reason Jesus came back and died on the cross was to restore what Adam had sold out to the devil.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Exactly.
But in order to get that, you have to receive him as your Lord and Savior. I didn't know that for 40 years and went to church every day practically. You know, I was a good church girl. We were good church goers. I'm not talking skip up.
No, we
did. And did not know that. To me, that is so important for you to know.
Yeah.
He came back. He restored the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
Eden.
Yeah.
The Garden of Eden is now in inside our hearts.
Yeah.
It's inside of us with power and authority.
Yeah.
Amen.
And we've got those are the keys. Behold, I give you the keys of heaven.
Hallelujah.
To the kingdom of heaven.
Come on.
Amen.
That's a clue.
Bring it on.
Now I got to explain this. I'm way off the sermon.
You need to hear it.
Okay, because some people, I've done this over and over, but the kingdom, okay, Colossians 1:13 actually says that you are translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. The second you're born again. People don't know that.
No, they do
it's
not.
In the Bible.
Huh.
You're translated from the kingdom of darkness. Maybe we ought to put it up there.
I'd say so.
So, I think we should, so your eyes can see it.
Yeah.
Okay, the kingdom of, now just before you put it up, the kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God.
Yes, it is.
Okay, put Colossians 1:13 and then go back to this.
Yeah, amen. Glory to God.
The Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and the dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That is, that's the kingdom of heaven. And that's the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are the same thing.
Amen, amen. Come on.
Okay, so now go back to the keys.
Yeah.
And we don't have to unlock it because it's already unlocked, but he gave us the keys. The keys of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven.
That's right.
Come on.
Now, in other words, let me explain that a little more.
Yeah.
Whatever there is in heaven
is
yours
already.
And you can have it by binding. Is there depression, sickness, pain, sorrow, death, strife,
division.
Hatred. Bitterness. None of that's in heaven.
Right.
Pornography. Yeah. Yeah. Junk. None of that's in heaven. Whatsoever we is already bound in heaven and can't be there is what we can loose on earth.
Amen.
See? And what is already bound in heaven and whatever you loose and declare lawful on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. If heaven can't have it, then we need to bind it.
Amen.
If it's evil, it hurts, makes you feel bad, bind it. And loose the opposite of what would be in heaven. That is huge. Oh, that woman's nuts. I'm not nuts. Honest to God. You know what? I strive to get revelation knowledge of this stuff. You can't just take the word. You've got to get revelation knowledge of it. It's a key of us operating in authority. But see, we've got to build our spirits up with the word. And being spirit-filled is huge too. Praying in tongues a lot. So that what's in there, what God put in there. You know, Colossians 3:3. I can't remember which verse. 3:2. It says, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge from the Lord are already in us. Are in our spirits. Resurrection power is in us. Ephesians 1. I'm telling you something.
Yeah, that's right.
Ephesians 1. It says that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives. That's Romans 8:11 I'm quoting.
That's 8:11.
Yeah, but that says the same thing.
Yes, it does.
It's already in us, but you've got to stir it up.
Yeah, you do.
You've got to stir it up. You've got to be so convinced in you that you start operating in this and binding stuff. I mean, if we were super... super stirred. I can't even say that I'm there. I'm not. But I mean, you could go to that those like Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. Yeah.
To Antifa, and to BLM.
Yeah.
And you know what? Take authority over all that destruction stuff.
Yeah.
It's devilish.
Yeah.
Because we have authority over the enemy, over the devil.
He's a liar.
I'm telling you this, we're going to get the super church before we're raptured is going to be like this. I'm just telling you ahead of time.
Yeah.
I don't know if you believe me or not, but this is the word of God. Okay. How about even the Lord's Prayer? It says, "Thy will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." Okay. Let's see. Ephesians 1:3.
Yeah.
Put Ephesians, well, the version I want, though, I don't know what version it is, but put it up anyway.
Come on.
I know it by heart, but. Constantly I rehearse this. I've been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. And you know what? Your will be done on this earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. You gave me the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and I have the authority to bind in the Great Commission. You said you go preach the gospel. I have authority to bind whatever is on earth is already bound out of heaven. Do you get what I'm saying? Whatever you loose is loosed in heaven. It's a good thing. Okay, and then Colossians 1:3, and it said we are blessed with all spiritual. Okay, this is out of the may blessing, praise, laudation, and eulogy. He has blessed us from Messiah, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm.
Amen.
In other words, there's another translation that says, everything that's already in heaven is ours.
Come on.
Rehearse that.
If you rehearse that over and over, but see, the church world is confused about God's got everything in control.
No,
and sometimes we want to just pass it on to God. We don't want to fight the good fight of faith and speak the word for the situation.
You're in trouble too.
All I know is I'm telling truth.
Yes, amen.
This is the truth of God's word.
Amen. You gotta say the word.
He turned the control over to us.
Yes, he did.
Just like he did to Adam.
Yep.
So he twisted it, went on the cross, died for all of our sins, beaten to pieces for our healing. And he turned over the control. Great commission. You go. You take over now.
That's right.
And as soon as you do take over, the angels, you speak the word of God. And that's what we were talking about the other night.
Yeah.
The angels come.
Yeah.
Jesus is the Lord of hosts.
Yeah.
He is the warrior God who leads the angels.
Yeah.
And you speak the word and God the Father says, do it.
Yeah.
You know what? That's I'm putting it in a trying to put it in a simple way. Maybe you never heard anything like this before, but this is the truth.
Amen.
It's so easy to say, God's got it in control, so I just sit back and watch TV and not do anything. You know, it takes some
effort.
It takes praying, it takes worshiping God. Because you want to stir yourself, your spirit up to that point where it's right out there. You know, people will look at you. I'm not, well, the other day, this happened to me and I thought, And sometimes you might take it as rejection.
Yeah.
But when you've been praying and you're filled with the word, you go, and you know, you go to somebody who's living in darkness.
True.
And they'll go up to you and they go, and she actually went like that. And she turned away and walked away. And then when I thought, oh, it was light.
Yeah.
Not me. It was the light of God. I give glory to God. We are nothing, but God wants us to do this. Hey, that's how this is going to, and those are the people, not everybody, just because you said Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Is he really your Lord and Savior? Or are you a cookie corner Christian, Jesse? You got to apply the word. You know, people say, well, I put on my armor today. And I said, oh, really? You put it, you said that. Yeah. You know what? I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Therefore, I put on, I know by heart. I can blab it. Therefore, you know, I put on the whole armor of God that I might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. You know what? You got to meditate on that. Are you really going to do that?
Come on.
That's not putting it on.
Amen.
That's rehearsing it. That perhaps, but you have to meditate on it so that it's a part of you and a part of your spirit. And your spirit man grows fatter and fatter and fatter, and not your body. But in all seriousness, that's where it lies. Jesus, I've heard prophets say that we can get to the point where we're only saying what the Father tells us to say. Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Now we got the Holy Ghost. So it's the Holy Ghost that's doing that. See, you know, there's the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit didn't come until the day of Pentecost. You know what? And he came into the earth.
True.
The Father and the Son are up there. The Holy Spirit is trying to tell us what to do.
Exactly.
The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Father God and the Spirit of the Son of God. It's their spirit. But it's in us. I mean, that alone is like, oh, you're carrying around precious cargo.
Explosion.
You've got power if you believe it. But you can't just say, you know, oh, this situation is just terrible. Well, I just give the control of my kids over to God.
No way.
You know what?
No.
Just do whatever you want. You know, no, I mean, you do whatever. Well, come on, speak the word over.
Yeah.
Especially if they're gone.
Amen.
You know, speak the word.
Yeah.
That's how you get the control, is by the word of God and speaking the word of God.
Yeah.
Because his word never returns void.
Amen.
But will accomplish what we please. It will prosper in the thing for which we sent it. Okay, so.
Come on.
Delicious. See, and what that people get hindered because from being Christians, because preachers are saying that God runs everything. If he's running everything, it sure is a mess. I mean, there's wars, poverty, starvation. Oh my gosh, this sex trafficking is horrible. Murder. I never knew how bad it was. It has to do with a lot that's going on right now. And it's being exposed. And it is in every country in the world. Every country. Ooh, it's sick. And it was for making money. It's money. But it's you know, even this, when in the millennium it says that Satan will be locked up for 1,000 years. Now, you know what? We're going to get raptured. We're going to learn some stuff in heaven, come back with Jesus on a white horse. The millennium is going to take place. And there's going to be people on the earth. But it says, it actually says in Revelation, and this is the word of God, that an, a 100-year-old man will be like a child.
Yeah.
You know what? That the children, the babies will pray. They will play with a snake, poisonous, what we call poisonous snakes, and the bears and the and all those that would eat cattle, you know, and stuff. They'll just lay by each other. Now, isn't that something? That's when Satan is eliminated from the earth. Well, it's God's will to do this. No, it isn't. That is Satan doing it. So, okay.
Hallelujah.
Did we say John 14:9? Jesus said, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." And it makes it impossible to accept the teaching that sickness and disease are from God. God is a God of love, and his nature refutes such an idea. Now, who anointed Jesus of Nazareth? You know, that scripture that says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. You know what? He anointed Lacey Hartman. How God anointed Lacey Hartman of Fremont, who went about doing good and healing all that were harassed, oppressed, you know, of the devil. For God was with her. That's us. You can put any of our names in it now because we are to do the works of God, but he gets all the glory. You can, if you're a glory hound, you're going to fall. It's true. If you're a glory hound and you think it's you, you will fall. But now, God anointed us too. It says, "I have an unction of the Holy One." It says that in 1 John. I have an unction of the Holy One. And it even says, "I know all things." You know what? Hey, you have revelation knowledge of it.
Come on.
You have revelation knowledge of it.
Be excited about it. Praise God.
Of what's going on. In other words, you have that same knowledge that God has, or Jesus had. But see, that comes from reading the word. That comes from stirring yourself up with praise and worship. In fact, worship and praise is the most important thing there is. That's not hard to do. Praying in tongues. Tongues is not of the devil. Read the Bible. People need to read the word. Some of the things that have been said are ridiculous. They're, you can refute it with one scripture. You know what? In fact, like in John 14:10, I read John 14:9. Jesus said, "The Father that lives inside of me, he's the one that does the works." Just think. You know what? And sometimes all we have to do is step out. You see somebody, we're going to see somebody in Walmart or somewhere, and you know, maybe they're in a wheelchair. It's going to come to pass. And he says, "Go pray for him." And we'll have to step out and obey. It even makes me wonder if I disobeyed him. Put, 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 put. You know what? But I found the times when you step out and you feel so inadequate, but you step out, God takes over. I've seen it over and over. Even with that $5,000 I told you about, he takes over. You know, we just have to trust him. Or like he'll say, "I'll be in praise and worship, and I haven't done this because of COVID and all that, laying hands on people. We haven't done it for a while, but because of that. Anyway, I don't believe that, but you know, some of you have to conform to what's going on. We're blessed that we can have people. But I can, you know, you'll be worshiping, you guys, and he'll say, "Okay, soon as when they're done, lay hands on people for whatever." And I go, "Oh, Am I really feeling that, or is that? Am I really? What if nothing happens? And you know what? Every time I stepped out and done it, he took over. So that's just the whole thing. Now, how did God do the works of healing through Jesus? By anointing him, and he's anointed us with healing power. Now, what did Jesus do with the anointing? He went about doing good. What good did he do? He was healing, because it was him who anointed Jesus. God is in the healing business. He's not in the sickness business. I looked up the word oppression, and it says to weigh heavily on the spirit, on your mind, or on your body. It's a burden. It's being subdued. It's a physical or mental distress, or to crush you.
Oh, that's what it's at. Yes, it is.
It's crushing oppression.
Yeah.
See, God is in the delivering business, not the bondage business. And this is another thing. When in Acts 10:38, who was healed by Jesus? Just a select group of people? No. Everybody that were oppressed of that devil. You know what? So everybody that was healed under the ministry of Jesus was oppressed by the devil. Oh, you're talking about the devil too much. I'll tell you what, why do people talk about their enemy in the service?
That's right.
Or in, like you, you're learning to be a sheriff. What, you have to know your enemy. We don't exalt him, but we know how we can do it. People will argue, you know what? Now, that doesn't mean an evil spirit was present in you, or you were you know. It just means the devil is behind that stuff in every case. Everyone's.
Amen.
You could have oppression of the devil. That doesn't mean you're possessed. Thank you. Couldn't even think of the word. It rhymes with oppressed. I don't care. Sometimes I get excited and even kind of nervous. But see, people will still argue with you, even ministers, and lead you to believe God and the devil. And I got this from Kenneth Hagin. God and the devil swapped jobs in the last 2,000 years. When God puts sickness on people and the devil puts them. No. A couple of scriptures we need to look up. One of them is Mark 16. This is the Great Commission. It's one of Matthew, too. It says it a little different. Why? They were disciples. Everybody speaks or describes things in a different way.
In red letters, too.
Okay, verse 15. Now, right before this. It says, actually 14. Afterward, he appeared to the 11, Jesus, as they sat at meat, as they were having supper, and he upbraided them with their unbelief. The 12 apostles, they had unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe them which had seen him after he was risen. And Jesus said to them, go you into all the world. You, all of us.
Amen.
Everybody in the earth?
No.
No.
Only, ones that are born again.
Only people who are born again have that commission.
Amen.
And preach the gospel to every creature.
Yeah, really.
Practice on your dog, your cat, your horse. He that believes, believe first. And is baptized after he believes,
Amen.
Shall be saved. But he that believes not shall be damned. You know, there's actually only one sin that will take you to hell, and that's not believing and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Now, these signs are supposed to follow us. In the name of Jesus, we will cast out devils. We will speak with new tongues. We will take up serpents. And if we drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. You know what? You can use that right now. Sure, you go on the mission field. You go on the mission field right here in Fremont. And you could get COVID. You could get a recluse spider biting you.
West Nile.
West Nile virus. Stuff like that. You can take that for all of that. Or you can go out to eat and get poisoned. Right? And then it says they shall lay hands on the sick. And they shall. That word shall there is absolutely guaranteed. Recover. But here's the whole thing. When you lay hands on somebody, it is a matter of them releasing
their faith.
They have to release their faith and believe it. Sometimes it's better not to lay hands on everybody until they're built up with the word of healing. That is huge too. Okay, Luke 10:19. Behold, I give you power. 10:19. Memorize this. Memorize it like you would. God did not give me a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. And that word power in that verse, 2 Timothy 1:7, it means authoritative power. You tell fear to get out. What was I doing? Oh, Luke 10:19.
Can't tell you what to do. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Probably could start with verse 18.
Let's see, which one did you put up? Behold. In other words, hearken, listen. Behold this. I have given you authority and power. That's the power he gave you, was the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and physical and mental strength and ability over all the power that the enemy possesses, and nothing shall in any way harm you. See, you might be, maybe you'd be caught in the middle of a riot. You got to believe that. If you don't believe it, it won't work. But see, heaven and earth shall pass away, but the word of God will never pass away. You got to keep saying stuff like that to yourself. See, all those scriptures, they're so key scriptures. God, you said heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. His word is tried in a furnace 7 times and purified. His word is forever settled in heaven. He is the word. You can't kill Jesus. He is the word. Amen. Okay, so that's. But out of the King James, it's a little easier. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all. Kenneth Hagin said, say ability. Ability of the enemy, because he has no power. The devil no longer. Jesus totally defeated him. He's paralyzed in a wheelchair. Now, you see, okay. Now, you know, okay. Okay. God ministers to us here on earth through his word, through the Holy Spirit, who is working through the church. And you know what? In every wedding that I've ever done, I always say that that bride is to her husband like Jesus is, like we are to Jesus. We are the bride of Christ. And he laid down his life. Now, there was something else I was going to say. Okay, so who is the church, though? Oh, is that denomination? That denomination? That denomination? No, it's not. No. Okay, only people throughout the earth who are born again. And there may be some in every church. You know what? There, yeah. That's who the real church is. And Jesus is the head of that church. He's the head of it. So, you, man, what a head we got. Now, Jesus said to lay hands on the sick, period. And if he was the one who put sickness and disease on them in the first place, and if it's his will for them to be sick, then that statement is pretty confusing. Amen? God didn't say, lay hands on those whom it is the will of God to heal, and they shall recover. Or to those whom it isn't God's will to heal, and they won't recover.
Come on.
No. Okay. Just know this. Even in James 5, and I don't want to take too much time here. I get caught up in these sermons and can say 10 times more. James, put James 5, 14 and 15. This is kind of important. Yeah, put it in the King James. Is any sick among you? Now, this is an epistle. James is an epistle. And it is written to the church for their instructions. That's why we need to read the New Testament, especially the epistles that Paul wrote and so forth, because it gives us instructions what to do right now. And it says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. You got to have faith when they do that. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now this is, and I've heard the history behind this, so I know that it's right. Okay. Those sick are usually the ones in a nursing home, in the hospital. They can't come out, or they're so sick they can't come out of their house. And we as Christians in church need to get healing inside of us really strong so that we don't have to do that. Because actually, and I've heard this from other preachers, big ones, and they said it's actually more for a baby Christian to anoint them with oil, to go to their house, to anoint them with oil. It's not necessarily that, but it's also that they can't get out. Do you get what I'm talking about? In other words, I'm telling you, us, to grow up. Get it. Get yourself full of the word of healing, you know, so you could be the one going there. You know what I'm talking about? Okay. Now, it says, is anyone sick among you? Among whom? Among the church. He's talking to the church. So it must be God's will to heal any of sick in the church. It certainly can't be his will for any in the church to stay sick. Right. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:12.
Oh, that's big.
And put it up there, King James.
Yeah, it says it all.
Now, it says, if we suffer, we should also reign with him.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And if we deny him, he will deny us.
That's right. Big time.
You can be a Christian and just deny all this stuff. I'm trying to give you real Christianity. Folks, I was so tired of playing that religious stuff. I mean, I knew there was more. Okay, but it says, if we suffer, suffer what? Okay, wait a minute. Okay, do we suffer cancer? Do we suffer pneumonia? You know, do we suffer COVID? Do we suffer tuberculosis? What? Arthritis? What did Jesus suffer? Persecution. And so will we if we live right.
That's right. That's right.
You're going to suffer it. You know what? But in those times, we have each other. Woe to those who are in the body who persecute others in the body. That's where what hurts. I mean, David in the Psalms, he said, and my friend that I walked to church with betrayed me. You know what? When I read that, I cried. I went, because that's so true. Oh, that's so bad. Hebrews 12:6, whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Now, chasten in the Greek, though, doesn't mean he puts cancer on you and all. As you, as a parent, would you put cancer on your child? You know, or chasten in the Greek there means to educate, to child train. Whom the Lord loves, he educates and trains. So we educate and train our children. Did you ever tell the teacher, if my child doesn't behave, just break his leg?
No, not really.
No. Give him an injection of cancer. Knock his eye out. You know what? So this is so stupid.
Yes,
why would God put sickness on us? You don't discipline or train that way, and neither does God.
Yeah,
I had a devotional from Smith Wigglesworth once. And it says, oh my, if he was talking about this. And he says, well, if God puts cancer on us, oh God, break my other leg. Break my arms too. Give me cancer all over my body. You know what? Then I'll be able to serve you and to worship you more. Oh, he was ministering to other people. Are you kidding? If he does that to you, you can't do anything, right? And even when you got the flu, you can't think straight. I mean, or you know what I mean? You get something. No, it's not God. So what about Job? Okay, now we're going to end. We're going to wounding up here. What about Job? God did not make him sick. The devil did. Yes, God gave the devil permission, but he didn't commission it. Now, I got a definition of that in this notebook. Permission means to allow you to do something, to let something be done. Commission means a written paper giving certain powers or privileges and duties, a giving of authority, power, or right. So God doesn't commission, you know, us to go rob a bank.
No.
We're doing it on our own because he gave us a free will. If we were to rob a bank, and you know, he's probably whispering in our ear, the Holy Spirit is, don't do that. Don't do it. That's not right. You're going to get in trouble. He said, I don't care, you know, because we have a free will. Do you see that? And a lot of times, folks, what people call demons are flesh.
Yes, they are.
It's just flesh rising up. You know what? Kill your flesh. And if you don't kill your flesh, a demon will come in. If you keep doing something you know you shouldn't do, then you're opening the door. But it's not necessarily at the beginning of it. Okay. I want to say so many things, but I tell you what, the time is short.
Yes, it is.
And we need to know some of this stuff for what we're confronting, for what we're going to be confronting. God will permit you to rob a gas station, but he won't commission you to do it.
That's right.
Now, the reason sickness and destruction came on Job was because in Job 3:25, and I'll just quote it, the very thing I fear has come upon me. Fear, you get in fear, it'll attract. whatever you're afraid of. You're afraid of dying of cancer? There were two ladies who had cancer. There was an evangelist who came. Both of them were healed of cancer. Both of them were cancer of the liver. Okay. 20 years later, the one of them said, my cancer has come back. And she said, and you know what? You know what? She died.
Yes, she did.
They did an autopsy on her, and there was no cancer in her body.
Yeah.
Right. Wow.
What'd
you say? Yeah. My cancer. My this. She feared it was going to come back. But that was more like the fear thing.
Yeah.
You fear something, it'll come on you. You know what? And the book of Job took place in 9 to 18 months. And you know what? Chapter 42 shows, my gosh, he doubled everything that Job had. And he turned his captivity because Job repented and changed. And I actually put up there, fear or faith. Faith or fear, let's put it. Okay. Paul's thorn in the flesh. Some people think Paul was sick all the time. The Bible doesn't say that. You got to use the scriptures. Okay. You know what? Okay. Go to 2 Corinthians 12:7. We're going over this real fast. This could be a whole sermon. Paul's thorn in the flesh. But 2 Corinthians 12:7. 12:7. This is Paul talking, and he says, to keep me from being puffed up and too much elated by the exceeding greatness of the preeminence of these revelations, he knew the word.
Yes, he did.
He knew what God meant.
Yeah.
There was given me a thorn, a splinter in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to rack and buffet and harass me and to keep me from being excessively exalted.
Exactly.
Are you getting that or not? I don't think you did.
Yes.
Okay. You know what? In the Old Testament, I found three scriptures that talk about a thorn in the flesh, and we're going to look them up because I want you to understand this. There's all these people with doctorates after their name in Bible. What do you call it? What's it a doctorate of?
Theology.
Yeah. They go to big conventions and argue this stuff. What was Paul's thorn in the flesh? It's simple.
It's so simple.
Because if you look at the Old Testament, you got to get in the Word.
Yes, you do.
You can have intellectual knowledge and not revelation knowledge.
That's right.
You don't understand this stuff.
Right.
Some stuff is just bang, just like that. But that comes from worshiping God.
Yes,
that comes from being in the Word.
It
comes from praying in tongues. The more you pray in tongues, the more revelation you get.
Yep.
Oh, but it's of the devil. No, it's not. Okay. Did I tell you where to look? Numbers 33:55. Numbers 33:55. Okay, but if you will, now look at this scripture up there. Why don't we just look up here? You can write it down in your notes, but if you will not drive out the inhabitants of the land before you, and it will come to pass that those which you let remain of them will be pricks in your eyes and thorns in your side, and ye and shall vex you in the land wherein you dwell. If you don't correct your children, they can be like that too. You be a thorn in your flesh. Okay, the next scripture was Joshua 23:13. Joshua 23:13. See, every place Paul went, that evil spirit stirred up everything he could, just like Antifa's BLM is being stirred up, you know, they're stirring that up deliberately. Okay. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you, but they will be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God has given you. He wanted them to go fight those people to get rid of them. Same thing with us. Okay, the next verse was Judges 2:3. These are all in the Old Testament, and they explain what the thorn in the flesh was. Really, they do. Judges 2:3. See, you cannot separate sickness and disease from Satan. Disease came from the fall of man, and the fall was of the devil. And whatever made it fall, that's the origin of it. You know, it's kind of like going back into your history and saying why, and sometimes it even can come from generations of stuff. Wherefore, I also said, I will not drive them out before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare to you. There it is. You don't correct something, even in your body or something, it becomes a snare. So, you know what? Jesus' attitude towards sickness was uncompromising warfare with Satan. He dealt with sickness the same way he dealt with demons. And since both of them are of the devil, we should fall into Jesus' footsteps and deal with it like Jesus did. Take authority over your own. I mean, I am not there either. Yeah, but we're getting there. I know it. I'm not, obviously. If I was, I wouldn't have had this. But you know what? Thank God. You know what? I told Ike Akabogo, you know what he said to me? He called the other day from Nigeria because he said, well, I can't, you know, I was scheduled to come to your church, but I can't fly out of the country. So, and I said, oh, how you been? Blah, blah, blah. I just told him that I had a full knee replacement. And you know what? He said, you'd be surprised how many things I've had done. and he said, you know what? Pastor Jockey, it takes more faith sometimes to go do that than it does to stand on faith and be healed. Because he said it takes more faith to go to the doctor and go have surgery than it does to be healed, because you don't know if you trust him. You know what I mean? That's the truth. But you get to the point where you are not living quality life and you can't even think straight because of pain. It's the truth. Okay, now this is a confession by Keith Moore. And before we receive communion, we're going to seal it with communion. Yeah. Okay. So, you know what? If you want to, stand up. If you don't, just sit. Lord. It's up to you. Just say this, Father God. I am your child. I thank you for giving me the name of Jesus. And the authority that goes with it. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the greater one. And the mighty power of God. In Jesus' name. I take authority over all demons. Over all disease. To move obstacles. To stop problems. To calm storms. To rebuke sickness. I have authority. I have power in Jesus' name. Put your hands on your head. In Jesus' name, fear and doubt leave me. Be gone. Confusion and deception be gone. Heaviness be gone. Depression be gone. In Jesus' name. Mind be strong. Think clear.
Think clear.
Be bright and sharp.
Be bright and sharp.
Put your hand on your chest. Soul, be strong.
Soul.
Have peace.
Have peace.
Be at rest and be free and loosed.
Be at rest and be free and loosed.
Body, be strong.
Body, be strong.
Anywhere. Tumors and growth.
Tumors and growth.
Anything that ought not be in my body. I take authority over you.
I take authority over you.
I speak against you.
I speak against you.
I command you in Jesus' name.
I command you in Jesus' name.
You die.
You die.
You dry up and be gone.
You dry up and be gone.
And leave me.
And leave me.
Heart, be clear. Be strong.
Heart, be strong.
Lungs, be clear. Be strong.
Lungs, be clear. Be strong.
Stomach and intestines, be healed.
Stomach and intestines, be healed.
Be whole.
Be whole.
Be free and work right.
Be free and work right.
Every organ and every gland, be right.
Every organ and gland, work right.
Be normal, be healthy, be strong.
Be normal, be healthy, be strong.
Every bone and every muscle.
Every bone and every muscle.
Every ligament.
Every ligament.
All my nerves.
All my nerves.
All my skin.
All my skin.
Be healthy, be whole.
Be healthy and be whole.
Be right and be strong in Jesus' name.
Be right and be strong in Jesus' name.
We'll add this. Satan, in Jesus' name, we command you to take your hands off our money.
Satan, in the name of Jesus, hand off our money.
Off our finances and investments.
Off our finances and investments.
Over our business and job.
Over our business and job.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Stop in your maneuvers.
Stop in your maneuvers.
Stop in your operations.
Stop in your operations.
Ministering spirits.
Ministering spirits.
Angels of God.
Angels of God.
Go. Cause.
Go.
Go. Cause the money to come.
Cause the money to come.
Work and influence.
Work and influence.
Cause it to come in the name of Jesus. So in Jesus' name, Satan. Stop in your operations and your maneuvers.
Stop in your maneuvers and your operations.
Against our marriages.
Against our marriages.
Against our families.
Against our families.
Against our children.
Against our children.
We forbid it.
We forbid it.
We bind you.
We bind you.
And you cannot continue.
You cannot continue.
You stop it in the name of Jesus.
Stop it in the name of Jesus.
Our marriages are strong.
Our marriages are strong.
Our families are strong.
Our families are strong.
They are free and right.
They are free and right.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
So be it.
So be it.
And this, now this is 100 thing. I'm not going to say it. But I wrote extra things in there, and I just want to say this right. Okay. Okay. Be it done unto me according to your word.
Be it done unto me according to your word.
For you said,
there shall be a performance of the
things that you have spoken and believed, God. Do you recognize that? That's what was said to Mary. And he said, that's forever settled in heaven for us. There will be a performance of the things that you spoke and believe, and that we believe. Now, I like this one, you know, John 14:30 out of the Amplified. Okay, so, and we say to you, Satan,
you have no claim on me.
You have nothing in common with me.
There is nothing in me
that belongs to you.
And you have no power over me.
Amen. Okay, those, what I just said to you, that Jesus said those words right before he went to the cross. You have no claim on me. You have no power over me. You have, there's nothing in me that belongs to you. Okay? You know what? I say that a lot. Say that a lot.
Amen.
Hey, devil, get out of here. Something goes wrong. You don't have any claim on me. I don't belong to you. I belong to God.
Amen.
You have no power over me. I have nothing in common with you. You don't say it. If Jesus said it, wow, we could say it. Oh, we're going to receive communion. So, and the way we do it is, let me pass it up. Okay, we have you come up here. And if, you know, you can't come up here, that's fine. Usher will bring it to you. So you want to. Okay, now we have different kinds today. And we have the kind where the juice and the host are together in a thing, and you take off the top. Yeah, be careful it doesn't spill.
Be careful because once you open it, you have to be careful when you open it because if you open it the wrong way, it will spill.
Yeah. And you don't want to get grape juice on your clothes.
No.
Yeah. Oh. The floor. Wait till we get the new carpet. Okay. Now, I'm going to just say this, though. Do not be in taking communion.
It is.
Do not be in unforgiveness taking communion. You are asking for it. It just even it says that careless and unworthy participation is the reason many of you are weak and sickly, and enough of you have fallen into the sleep of death. And you can die prematurely. It's serious. I mean, that's the word of God. Heaven and earth passes away. Okay. So we'll just stand over here. We'll just take one and okay. I'll hold it. Ken sees you. That's okay. No, that's okay.
Jackie.
This might do it anyway.
Okay, sweetie.
Do you have a song we could play? Or I didn't put anything on there, I forgot.
Amy, you quit laughing.
One Body, maybe. It's on Hillsong. Okay.
All right.
But you can start.
Oh, my goodness.
And then we'll receive together.
Thank you. Pretty fancy.
Yeah. We did this a while ago because of COVID, but be serious about communion.
Yeah.
Because it is.
So powerful.
It says, for I have received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. Paul said that. And the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, he took that bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, take and eat, for this is my body. That body of his real body, was broken for you by being whipped and beaten through all three layers of skin, that it touched his organs. It was for our healing. And he said, we just sang it many times, do this in remembrance of me. Never take communion casually. Do it. Remember what he did for you. So let's receive it together as a body of Christ. And he said, after the same manner, he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. For this is the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So, Jesus' body was broken for us so we could be free of sickness and pain.
Amen.
Receive your healing right now by faith. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Okay, we're going to, this is not the end of the service yet. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And so, we pray a blessing over you, and we say, be strengthened, be perfected and completed, be encouraged and comforted. Be of the same agreeable mind one with another. Live in peace, and the God of love, who is the source of all affection, goodwill, and benevolence toward men, and the author and promoter of peace, be with you. And his grace and his favor and spiritual blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you throughout this whole week. Amen. Throughout your life. In Jesus' name, amen.